How do you guys want to intro this podcast? Because we just basically started talking about how we gag on and choke on ourselves.
I think that's a good intro.
There we go.
Let's start it off. Howdy, folks. Welcome back to Hoot and a Half. I'm your host, Matt King.
I'm Mike Sheffer.
And that's Mike Sheffer. And today we are joined with a couple. This is our second couple we've ever had, right?
Technically third if you count Joe and Ilya, but
I think that counts.
I think that counts too. With Scotty Sire and Jacqueline Noel.
Here
or Jack
present.
Anderson.
I have two names. It depends.
You have three
what
names.
Day I'm feeling.
Jack, Noel, and Anderson.
Well, yeah, but I go by two aliases.
Jack the Noel and Jack Anderson.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
Well, you guys are here, and I'm really happy that you guys are here. And, like, I can't believe I hadn't thought about having them on. And then when we had dinner recently for Natalie's birthday, you guys were just talking about y'all's relationship and stuff. And I'm like, wait, I got to be recording this.
Well, before we jump further, since the second he walked in, he's been telling us off camera that we need to ask about why he's wearing sunglasses. Let's just get it out of the way.
Why are you wearing shades, Scott? Can you not say that? Can you just ask?
Oh, sorry, sorry. Yeah, we'll edit around that.
Scott definitely did not ask anyone to ask this question, but why are you wearing sunglasses, babe?
Because I wanted to look cool on the podcast. Because, like, Jack's here and she always kind of outshines me in the cool factor, you know? She came on stage during my show and she was like singing and shit, and people were like, sorry, I forgot Scott was there after you came on stage, so I just wanted to look a little cooler.
That's it. That's really it.
Wow. You do look pretty cool.
Wow.
Do I look cooler?
You look like you just came from an audition for the new Matrix movie, but I think that's a cool movie. So,
but you also, you kind of look also stuck up, like you can care less to be here.
My face is a little puffy as well. It's another reason.
Oh, please. You're so handsome. Take these off. Show them. Oh, look at them.
That's what we paid for. Those are the Scotty Sire guys we paid for.
It's a lot brighter in here than I thought it was when I was wearing these glasses.
But yes, you guys you had a really great show at the Troubadour.
Yes.
What day was it? Sunday.
Sunday.
It was awesome. And thank Jack you. Had a special cameo on stage as well.
Yeah, that was so fun because I love performing. I feel like that's pretty known fact already.
But you were so nervous. Well, you were like, are you sure you want me to do this? I feel like I shouldn't do this. I don't want to do this.
So it was your idea?
Yeah, it was all Scott's idea. I always said that I wish I had a good voice because I love performing. That's why I love karaoke so much. I think we talked about this last episode. I love karaoke, but I'm so tone deaf. I'm a terrible singer. But I do put all of my performance energy into it. So the reason why I was so nervous is because I didn't want anyone thinking that when I got on stage, me singing was like me doing my debut of I'm a singer.
Right.
Because I listened back to that video and listen here. My mom the next morning was like, that wasn't the first thing I needed to hear this morning. No. I was like, thanks, mom.
I thought you sounded great, but there was some funny comments on the Instagram picture that I posted that was like, oh, we love our tone deaf queen and like stuff like that.
It wasn't, when you're up there, it didn't look like you were taking yourself seriously.
Yeah,
it would have been bad if you were like,
can we start over again?
Run it back. I didn't hit that note right.
We made jokes about that beforehand. She is like, can I have them like start over if I mess up?
No, the show must go on.
Also, the biggest thing though that I was embarrassed about is I was so loud. I have no volume control to begin with. But when I listen back, Scott's singing so soft and nice. He's like, I don't even remember what the words are.
Man, I feel like moan.
Yeah. So that's the volume he's at. Meanwhile, I come on and I'm like, I've got to screaming.
Karaoke mode.
Screaming.
The crowd loved it.
The crowd fucking
I know. When the moment when it happened, I didn't know that you were going to come on stage. And so when you're like, her name is Jacqueline Noel, I was like, oh, and I kept looking for you. And I'm like, where is she? Is she in the bathroom? Did she miss that? Like, oh, man. And then you came on stage. I was like, yes.
It was the best surprise ever.
Was dripping sweat. I have never been sweatier in my entire life. Like, I guess I'm clearly a nervous sweater. The back of my hair, because it was just on my bare back, was drenched from just pure fear. But
I am the same way.
It worked out, I guess.
It worked out amazing.
How long ago did you plan on it? Because I know you guys made that little TikTok of having tickets to go see, Harry Styles?
Mm-hmm.
Or yeah, that's what it was.
And then he was like, oh my god, it would be so sick if you came out for that part. And at first I feel like I kind of thought you were joking, and then I was like, you don't actually want me to do that, right? And Bruce and Bo, guitarist and the drummer, they were like, no, you gotta do it. And then I was like, oh God, this is real. I'm gonna have to go out there and sing.
You did it. You really did it. And yeah. But this was like one of the, it was the hardest to get done rehearsing for the show sort of thing, because I was so busy. At the same time, I like launched a Patreon, a podcast. I had a music video coming out, like at the same time trying to rehearse and promote all these things at the same time. We did like 2 actual days of rehearsal where we practiced the songs and stuff. And like at the second day, I was like, I'd feel pretty good about this. We'll have Jack do her first like test at sound check. And she came to sound check and she's like, I don't know. I just don't know. Like,
I feel like this is awkward. I feel like this is weird.
Oh, you were thinking about backing out?
Yeah. Or, yeah. We ran through it twice. And then Scott was like, okay, you got to go. Go get ready. Come back. And I was like, oh, 2 times. I need like 40 more.
I wasn't like, okay, you got to go, no, bitch. I was like, okay, I love you. Goodbye.
Guess what? In my brain, I was freaking out. All I heard was go.
Your first time doing something like that is definitely nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
But like at the troubadour.
Yeah, the troubadour. Yeah, right? You're not doing it like, you know, at Matt's backyard birthday party. This is like a real... People paid money for this show.
Yeah.
And thankfully, I don't think you... Nobody demanded refunds because Jack went on stage, right?
No, actually. God. I mean, I'm sure that people that haven't seen Jack at a show before would be like, well, shit, if Jack's going to come out every time, then I got to go to Scott's next show.
Yeah, there you go.
Man, I'm in the presence of some people who've had some serious stage time this year.
Yeah.
Like with Mike and going on tour with Adam.
Oh, yeah.
I know, that was crazy.
Your drummer's great, by the way.
Yeah, he's like, first of all, great guy, really nice. Bo Evans. And he's a great drummer.
But if you're looking for a backup.
Apparently, you're a great drummer, too.
I'm okay.
Yeah, I'm okay.
I was like, is this a joke when you said you were drumming for his tour?
Yeah, when I posted the first thing, Scott's comment was like, is this serious or a joke? And I was like, no, this is serious. I'm definitely playing like a bunch of shows.
I like couldn't tell at all, for some reason.
So the first show, like I only practiced with Adam for like 3 or 4 days. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then you go to the first show and you're like, well, I hope.
I got this down.
I hope we got it. Yeah. And, you know, once you get on stage, though, it's like, you know, you've practiced enough to know.
Yeah.
But what was it like being back on stage for you after... What was it, like a 2-year hiatus since you were last on stage?
Yeah, it was like 2.5 years since the last time I was on stage. And honestly, like, L.A. felt great. Like, I didn't fuck up my lyrics too much. I felt like I had the vocals down pretty well. The mix was good. The energy was great. All my friends were up there. You guys were there, which is, like, I love when you guys all come out to support. I think, like, having supportive friends is fucking just, like, a huge thing. I was like, I can't fuck up. But the first show was Chicago. And I also could not fuck up because, like, I don't want to disappoint anybody.
Right.
But, like, I was exhausted and I just had not done it in so long that, like, those nerves that you had for coming out to do the one song, I had for doing a whole show. I was like, I haven't done this in so long. I don't know if I can do it anymore.
Oh, you were, like, in your own head about it?
And, like, I didn't mess up every single song. My manager is extremely supportive, but I like got off stage and I was like, okay, so what do you think? Because I did mess up some lyrics on some songs. And he's like, I think you messed up at least 2 or 3 times on every single song. Like, I don't mean to lay into you or anything. Like, it was a great show. People were happy. They're leaving happy. But like, you kind of got to get your shit together for the next one. You know, like the label people are going to be there. They're PR people, all your friends, you know? Like,
right.
And I was like, I really took that to heart. And he's like so good at being like a manager. He's like, we're going to book you a later flight so you get to sleep in a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to go straight home and you're going to take a nap instead of going to the load-in with the rest of the band. And you're going to get the rest that you need this time before the show. And like, he put me in check of like, you're going to take care of yourself. And tonight we're not going out to dinner. We're going to order something and you're going to sleep right away.
Yeah.
It's a good manager.
And that's what you needed to do.
Don't worry, Matt. When you play your first show, I'll make sure that you have plenty of sleep before. You don't need to load in. But also like when you do mess up lyrics though, specifically, I feel like the audience barely realizes that.
Or they laugh. Like, they kind of cheered you on anytime you did mess up.
Yeah. With like small lyrical mess ups. Like if I miss a couple words, it's fine. In Chicago, I remember I missed like an entire one verse of a song and I just started laughing and I was like, I'm sorry guys, it's been a really long time. If I miss my lyrics, like you just sing them, please. But like I can do all the choruses. It's just that some of my fucking songs have like more words than the Bible. And I made that joke on stage last night.
Well, your rap the other night. Verses.
Mr. Glassman.
Yeah, the rap talk verse. They're so fast.
I hired people to do lyric videos for some of my songs a long time ago. And they were like, I've never seen songs with this many lyrics in it. Like,
whoa.
You got a lot to say.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
He's got a lot to say, but he's soft spoken.
Were a lot of the fans at this show's like, do you, now that you've done so many and you are kind of familiar, but it had been so long, were they a lot of familiar faces or did you see a lot of new people come out to it?
So many familiar faces. And yeah. There was definitely people there that I'd never seen before, but a lot of them were people who have been to shows before and like had fun at previous shows. And it was like, that was like one of the best things, is being able to see all these people that some of them flew out. They drove for 5 hours, or like there was girls from Florida that came and like just like,
whoa,
there's like a whole friend group that met, you know, through being fans of the Vlog Squad or like whatnot, and you know, formed these little alliances and groups on Twitter where they're like, let's go meet up with all our besties at a concert with the people that, you know.
I have a bunch of friends too that I've met from like going to concerts in high school. Like you meet people in line when you're waiting, you meet them after the show, and then like they become friends for life. And it's like meeting friends through music is definitely a thing that I've experienced. So it's very cool that you're seeing that from the other side.
Yeah. And I love the merch. Merch looks really cool. Boyce was wearing it, and Patricia thought that he was the bouncer for the upstairs. She like didn't make eye contact, and she was about to like pull out her ID again. He's like, "It's me." She was like, "Oh, I'm so sorry."
You're just a black shirt dude.
Yeah,
yeah.
I got his Irish shirt.
You've come such a long way too. I think it was either you or Jason that I was talking to. It was like, remember when David would do like the Views tour, or David would put on a show and you had one song and you would come out and just do the only song that you had. And now you are literally putting on full concerts just of your own music.
Yeah. I have a couple of like, just the couple first two things that I did were like, not fantastic. So the first one was the 400 person podcast tour that David and Jason did in San Francisco. And it was like, their test podcast, live podcast. And I did Sad Song and put the video on in the background of the stage. So the lyrics were on the screen and I was still messing up the lyrics. I didn't think, I didn't think that I needed to rehearse at all, because I was like, I wrote the song, I know the lyrics, fuck it. You know, the song lyrics were up there and like, I didn't even think to turn around and read them. Like, I was like,
well, I
just
mean,
got so flabbergasted.
You can't be on stage and fully turn around just to read your own lyrics.
Right. You just perform with your back to the audience. Yeah.
Now, Jack, do you know his lyrics pretty well? Like, was there a point in the relationship where you're like, I need to start learning Scott's songs?
So I don't really know
my old songs.
His old songs. I'm familiar with them.
Right.
But I don't really know them. I do know all of his new song lyrics. I was driving him to rehearsal right before the show, and he was like, I'm just going to quickly run through the set list just to make sure I got all the lyrics down. And one of the songs we were playing, and he was like, oh, fuck, yeah, right, that's there, okay, that's there. Meanwhile, I'm singing every note melody. There's parts where he's like, ooh, I'm like getting everything. I go, do you want me to go on stage and do this for you?
Did you say you were getting the notes right?
Okay, well,
the words, right?
I wouldn't have messed up all the words. No, there were notes. There were parts. What are they called? When at the end,
like ad libs or
harmonies? Yeah, ad libs.
Yeah,
I got all the ad libs in.
We'll be right back after a quick word from today's sponsor.
You know, Mike, if there's one thing I've learned, it's that life is better together. And with the holidays here, I am really looking forward to celebrating with friends and family. Like, for instance, tomorrow, Patricia is throwing a Christmas party, and you just threw a little Hanukkah party this past weekend.
Yes, that's correct.
And we wanted this year to be extra special when we held those events for our friends and family. And with those events, we didn't want to just call or text our friends to come on over. We wanted to make it special. And that's why we use Evite.
Evite offers thousands of free invitations, all fully customizable for your occasion. Birthdays, weddings, baby showers, holiday parties, whatever you're celebrating, no matter how big or small, Evite has what you need.
And what I love is that you can choose your design that they have created by a whole bunch of professional artists, or you can upload your own.
It's honestly such a better feeling to receive an Evite from someone, because you get to see maybe a little bit of the vibe, you get all the information, it doesn't get lost in the jumble of texts and emails, and it makes things just feel a little bit more personal, a little more special.
But everybody I know who's having an event this year has been using Evite.
It takes just a few minutes to create and send out your invitation, and RSVP tracking is included, so you can actually know who's coming and who isn't.
And Evite makes it super easy to link a registry or a gift list to your invite. And best of all, it is free.
Yeah, so for example, when I threw a Hanukkah party, one time I tried to make the design on my own, and I think I sent it over, and like you laughed because my design skills are so bad.
It was tragic, Mike.
But now with Evite, I get to send a beautiful, amazing card, and I actually see who's coming. The RSVP list is super great, And I feel like when I send an invite to someone, it's like, hey, this is something I want you to come to. This isn't just like a throwaway thing. It makes the occasion that much more special.
I know. And it's super stressful when you're throwing a party because you don't know where to delegate all the responsibilities. You handle drinks, you handle food, someone handle invites. But when you use Evite, your task and your job is a breeze.
Evite helps our celebrations feel extra special and they can help yours too.
So head over to evite.com/hoot to choose over thousands of designs options to create and send invitations for free.
That's Evite, evite.com/hoot. Once again, evite.com/hoot, evite.com/hoot. Now back to the episode.
And you guys are heading to New York when? Tomorrow?
Tonight.
Tonight.
Oh my
gosh. You playing a show?
Our flight is tonight.
Yeah. Oh, sick.
Our show's on Friday. I mean, my show's on Friday.
Our show is on Friday.
And what venue is it going to be at?
It's at Mercury Lounge. So we did like a 3-show, small, kind of smaller venues just to kind of like test the waters, see how things are going. Because, you know, COVID is still a thing. Mm-hmm. Now everyone's, you know, worried about whether or not they should be going to a show. There's so much just up in the air about the whole situation that it's like, you don't know who's coming out to every show. Like, people are going to be like, I really want to go see Harry Styles, but I'm not going to go to fucking 10 concerts this year because I want to be careful.
Yeah.
Or like, I want to see my very favorite artist, but who knows about a YouTube guy who like started making music, you know?
Entirely.
So we just did like a kind of test run, and I'll probably just lay off after this test run for a little bit and see how things go with the music that I'm working on with the label before I schedule like a whole big shebang.
But you would want to continue playing live. This wasn't like, I'm over it, I got it out of me. Like, you want to keep going with it?
No, especially after the last show.
I would imagine. Yeah, I mean, you crushed it.
So much fun, and I miss doing it so much, and I miss meeting people who come out to support, like real live faces, and like seeing how happy they are to like be a part of like the music and the environment, and like once again, like I said, having all the friends there that are mm-hmm. like, well, you fucking killed it. It's like it's such a serotonin boost, you know?
Yeah, and it was so good also going there, and like I had to go because when I saw Heath like go down on the floor just to be right up there, I'm like, I'm coming down too. I hadn't seen any of all the fans like in forever, and it was just so nice, like, because with you they get even more excited because they get to see everybody else at the same time.
For the last song, I was like, oh, I want to get up to the front of the stage, and I was worried that if I tried to push through, people were going to be like, oh wow, who's this rude bitch? Meanwhile, I'd be like, oh, can I get in front of you? And someone would turn around and be like, oh, I got Jack, because they would just recognize me from you. And that was cool too, because since I've started dating Scott, like he was saying, his fan base on Twitter, I have obviously now followed a bunch of them, and I recognize them. So I was in the crowd, they would turn around and I would totally recognize them and be like, oh my gosh, hi, it's so nice to finally meet you. And they were in shock that I recognized them. Mm-hmm. But of course, how could I not? So it was so fun.
Yeah. And I think the other thing is there was so much negativity in the past couple of years, like just in general on the internet, in the world, and a lot of people's like mental health and the way that they're talking on the internet is so like negative.
Yeah.
So it's like very positive experience to like go do a show with people who support you and love you and like see them be happy.
Do you ever run into a weight limit problem though with your luggage?
No. Luckily, no. Because I always weigh my bag before.
Good always. Girlfriend.
I thought how you do?
Yes. I go to the scale and I stand on it and I weigh myself. Then I pick up the suitcase and I weigh myself holding the suitcase, and then I do the math.
Yeah.
Like the genius I am.
Wow.
And so I've never had to deal with that.
Oh, I have a whole album in my phone of Patricia like at the check-in stand, like opening up her luggage and removing stuff because it's the most embarrassing thing. Even I cringe when I see people's luggage open. It's like they're like getting undressed. It's
just
it's like
a very intimate thing.
I don't need
to see
what's inside your bag.
Yeah.
I really want to like work at like a TSA place and play around with like a security scanner.
They give me anxiety, those things. I was like, I was going through like looking at how they look at bags, and I'm like, everything looks like a bomb,
right?
Like, I'm like, what the fuck?
I don't know how they know what's what. Like, come on.
I think that the machine has stuff that just tells them, look at, I don't think that they're looking at that at all. I think it's a machine that looks at it and
goes,
says,
you need to flag this.
Yes. And that's all they're really doing is making sure the machine's just like, maybe I'm wrong.
I want to play with one though and just like see what different items look like.
I'm sure there's like someone probably made like a website, like, can you guess what this is with the TSA
it
thing?
It looks like an
abstract YouTube
art
video that's like an hour long of just like different people's items going through.
Yeah. I mean, there probably is a game that's literally like,
guess the object.
Yeah, guess the object, or like try to save the plane or some shit like that. Like,
oh, that's. I mean, yeah, you want to put some stakes in the game. It's not just like, oh, that's a water bottle, that's a sweater. Yeah. Like,
identify the bomb.
Like, this plane is being hijacked. Can you solve the crime before?
Yeah. Okay.
That's a lithium ion battery. Yeah. Flag it. Check the bag.
Speaking of
1 ounce of toothpaste, let's pull you aside for 45 minutes and give you a shakedown. I have two questions. I don't know which one's more controversial, but I'll start with this one because I think it's going to be less controversial. Have you settled the Zendaya Tom Holland love quadrant that you guys have established?
Yeah, it's settled. We all love each other.
It's a four-way love. We all love everyone.
It's kind of
they don't love us because they don't know we exist. But maybe one day.
No, I think they do know you exist. You like, I feel like you guys have came up on their For You page.
Well, actually, maybe. You know,
I
what?
Know that, I know that, like,
I was trying to be humble. Zendaya knows I exist. Because I dressed up as her for Halloween a few years ago. And, like, a month after Halloween, all of a sudden I got, like, 50 comments on my photo saying, oh, my God, Zendaya liked this. Oh, my God, Zendaya liked this. And I was like, what are you guys talking about? And I went, and I almost shat myself. Zendaya liked my photo. So that means she knows I exist. Yes.
Or her social media manager.
No.
That was definitely her. I got something like that recently with like a Billie Eilish thing. Like, I think it was like a video or something. Like, oh my God, Billie liked. And like, lo and behold, I like checked the likes and it was Billie Eilish. She liked my post.
Yeah, see, that was Billie. That wasn't her social media management team.
But also, I feel like Tom Holland and Zendaya are like of the demographic to also maybe watch some stuff that you guys have done or been in. So.
They're both somewhat young. I know that Zayn and Todd were at some restaurant and Tom was sitting like across from them at another table.
Yeah.
And like Zayn was like, he's like looked over here a couple of times, kind of like he recognizes me, but I'm not sure.
I believe
the night that we saw him in the club, didn't he go up to like Jason and say, I'm a fan?
Whoa, did he?
Oh, yeah. I'm almost positive he did.
I think that might have happened.
I was playing it too cool for school. Uh-huh. Because I was like, I can't look like a little fangirl.
Right.
And then Tobey Maguire sat down at our table with all the model girls that were sitting there.
Yeah, that was really cool. I feel like that I'd fangirl a little bit more over Tobey Maguire because he's just like so iconic.
Original Spider-Man.
Tobey's my Spider-Man.
We grew up. Yeah. Okay, Tom Holland's also my Spider-Man.
I did hear Tom Holland, his like actual accent recently, and it was like a deeper voice than usual in a current interview with
people
him
were
and Zendaya.
Saying he had a sore throat.
Oh, he had a sore throat.
Well, oh, she's followed. Well, all I was gonna say, threads,
so. I almost wrote a tweet. I was like, not gonna lie, Tom Holland's accent kind of sexy in that interview. Like, but he had a sore throat, so it was like that morning voice.
My next topic was, now that you have like maybe settled this beef, I'm curious as to what each of your daily routines looks like. Because I don't know if they're the same. Are you guys in sync on certain things? Is there a line for the bathroom in the morning? What's the dynamic here?
The dynamic for our daily routine?
Who's the early riser?
Typically me. It used like when she...
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, I used to be such a morning person. I think just... Honestly, the pandemic definitely shifted my schedule a ton. Before the pandemic, I was working out maybe twice a day. I was an early riser. I would get out of bed at 7 a.m., 7:30 on my own free will. Then everything slowed down. Also, I feel like when you get in a relationship, you wake up and you're just like comfy and cozy in bed. You don't need to rush up and go do things. So yeah, my schedule totally shifted back. You get up way earlier than me now.
Usually I get up earlier. It just depends. Like recently I've been like really tired just from everything
today
that's
I got
been
up
going
earlier.
On. Mm-hmm. Jack got up earlier. I was like, can you make me coffee this morning? Because usually I like wake up and either make coffee or order coffee, bring it in the room. And I'm like, will this get you out of bed this morning?
Oh, you do bedside delivery?
Yeah.
I do.
He's like the best.
Whoa.
Best. Ooh, whoa. Anything I ever need. If I even like start to utter something, he's like, what do you need? I'll go get it for you.
Oh.
How fucking sweet. Like that's just what he does. He'll do anything that he sees that he thinks I might like for no reason at all. He's like, oh, I thought you would like it.
Right.
Well, the reason is because he loves you, Jack.
I know, but yeah. It's just like beyond sweet.
And so the day-to-day routine.
On a typical day for me, I wake up, I work out either with a trainer or without the trainer. I try to work out or I go to my computer and I'm like, I check the crypto market. I check the stock market, edit a vlog or whatever's going on in
get some
digital,
work done.
Digital world. I try to get work done early. then maybe Todd will hit me up for a hike. I asked Jack to go on hikes sometimes, try to encourage her to like work out with me and exercise. And she's like, no, I don't really feel like hiking today. It's funny because like she used to be so motivated and driven to go to workout classes at like 7 a.m. after being out till 3 a.m. or something like that. She'd like push herself because she paid for that class. She has to go to it now. And we've gone through these phases where she's like, all right, I want you to tell me to get off my ass and go work out. And then when I do it, she's like, you know what? I don't like that, actually.
Yeah. I don't want to be told to do it.
Well,
I don't know if it was in a YouTube comment or on TikTok. Scott said something about like encouraging me to work out. And somebody commented and was like, ew, the fact that Scott tells her to work out is such a red flag. Like, ew. And I literally go, no. Scott doesn't give a fuck if I work out. He cares because I get upset when I don't work out, and he doesn't want me to be upset. So that's why he says, oh, let's go work out so you feel good about yourself, not let's go work out because you need to get in shape.
We'll be right back after a quick word from today's sponsor.
You know, Mike, meeting with a therapist to work on your mental health is just as helpful as it is to hire a personal trainer to work on your own physical health. And the positive impact on doing that can be life-changing.
Talkspace makes it possible to talk with a licensed therapist right from your phone, tablet, or computer. And unlike traditional therapy, you can message your therapist anytime via voice, text, or video.
It is 100% secure and stigma-free the way therapy should be.
Meeting with a therapist should be as regular and routine in your life as going to the dentist or going to the doctor. What we love is that Talkspace makes it easy to talk to a therapist whenever you need to. You don't need to wait for that weekly session. If something comes up, you know you have someone to talk to right away.
It's all the benefits of traditional therapy, but without having to deal with all the hassle of making the appointments, and then you get told that you have to wait a week or even more just to be able to talk to somebody.
And at Talkspace, privacy and security are their number one priority.
The app puts you in a private room with just you and your therapist, and you can send messages with them 24/7 and get replies throughout the day.
Talkspace's encryption and added security keep your conversation fully protected.
So whether you struggle with anxiety, depression, self-doubt, or anything else, Talkspace gives you access to the help you need to move forward.
Facing those obstacles isn't easy, and you don't win a prize for doing it alone.
And hey, getting professional help isn't weird or weak. It's smart because sure, your friend may know a thing or two about electricity, but would you let him rewire your house?
So don't leave your mental health to chance with some amateur advice from well-meaning friends or family. Talk to someone who's trained to help you make lasting progress.
So join Talkspace today and start moving forward with just a single message.
Just go to Talkspace.com and use promo code HOOT for $100 off your first month when you sign up. So visit Talkspace.com and use code HOOT, H-O-O-T, to get $100 off your first month when you sign up.
That is $100 off at Talkspace.com when you use promo code HOOT, H-O-O-T.
Talkspace, TalkSpace.com. Use promo code HOOT for $100 off. And now, back to the episode.
Now, when you were a bartender, did you have to cut people off?
Couple times, yes.
What did you say? I think you're good, man. Or you're like, no, you're done.
One of the times I had to grab a bat and say, you need to get the fuck out of the bar because he was threatening another customer and he'd just gotten out of prison.
Did you do like did you palm the bat like in your hand? Like,
no, I just like grabbed it just to have it behind me. I didn't try to look threatening with it. I was just like, you got to get out of here. I have this for self like protection if you decide to be aggressive because you're being very aggressive right now, but you need to leave. Luckily, he was with a friend who had gotten him out of prison, and she was like, I'll get him home, don't worry, like it's fine, like I'll get him out of here. You don't have to call the cops or anything like that. Like,
I would never. I that's why my bartending days were very short. I would never. Like, I'm such a people pleaser and a pushover that anything that's a little bit confrontational, I really struggle with. So if I had to be like, sorry, you're cut off, like that's exactly how I would do it. I would just be like, maybe try some ginger ale.
Oh yeah, even at a dinner, if someone like complains about their food, I like have to get up and I can't watch that person talk.
Me neither. You don't like confrontation.
I would do anything to avoid it.
I also hate confrontation.
Yeah, so no, like, but you have the ability to tell someone who's being a dick, hey, you gotta go.
Well, it was an elderly couple, and they were talking to me about my tattoos. this guy was sitting across from the bar with a bunch of tattoos, and they were like, yeah, we just hope our daughter doesn't get a tattoo that has no meaning that to her that she like would regret or whatever. And the guy started like going off. He was sober when he walked in. He had three drinks. And so like, I understand the whole rule about the whole alcohol thing. Cause this guy just had the short fuse that was like, you fucking talking about tattoos over there? You don't want your daughter to get tattoos? What's wrong with fucking tattoos? I'll fucking stab your eyes out with the fork right now.
Holy and shit.
It was like this nice elderly couple that was just like talking to me very politely about tattoos. And I was like, bro, chill out. Like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, I don't know. It was really
weird.
He was
looking for a tussle.
Matt,
but you don't tussle with 2 7-year-olds.
Like, but no. That's why he was in jail. He clearly doesn't have good judgment.
Matt, when you were employed at Chuck E. T's, did you ever have to cut any kids off because there were too many pizzas?
You
were
at Chuck E.
Timmy,
Cheese.
That's enough.
Yeah, you're gonna get a tummy ache every time on this podcast. not cut kids off on because their parents have to like should monitor that, not me. But I would catch kids like stealing. Like some kid would be like, my tokens are right here, and that kid stole them, and it was like pretty obvious the kid stole them.
Oh my god!
And I wouldn't. I don't know. I should
bring out the baseball
bat. It was
back.
Not my place to discipline the kids, but I would just go. Are those yours? Are you sure about that?
Oh.
She says that these are her tokens. And then the kid would just start breakdown crying. And I was like, let's give them back to her. And then I would be like, I'm out of there.
Yeah. Instantly you ever have sweating. A
parent? All right, let's move off of airplanes, guys.
Let's go back to the holidays. I know that you guys have already met each other's parents and stuff.
Yeah, but on holidays, people fly places.
Okay.
I know. Yes, it's important. But you guys have now been in a relationship for quite some time now, and you guys have spent like great quality time with both of your parents and stuff. And even your parents have met each other's parents. But how was it in the beginning getting to know each other's parents? Did it come easy? Was Jack's dad tough?
Jack is fucking so good at just like walking in a room and being outgoing. She's like really, really nice and charismatic. So like everybody fucking loves her, of course. Like, so it was really easy for her, I think. I was super nervous to meet her parents and like sleep at their house. Like when I brought her over down to my partner's house, it was like, we're not sleeping here. We're just going and we're saying hi. And I was like, I feel a little awkward. And like, she was like, yeah, my parents have never let, you know, you can't sleep in the same room as me. And then when I got there, it was like early in the morning. And she's like, just come in this room. And I was like, I feel so nervous to be sleeping in the same room. I didn't even meet him yet. And I'm sleeping in the same bed. Is that allowed? Like,
but
you said it wasn't.
You just get reverted to like sixth grade. You're just like,
yeah.
My parents are like so nice and friendly. They're the type of parents that
they're very similar to Jack. Like they're very, very nice too. So like they were super, super welcoming. But I am just really shy and awkward and insecure. So when I first met them,
head.
I was like,
"Are you like what do I call your dad? Do I call him like Mr. Anderson,
Mr. Noel?"
Or I call him.
You like mess up. You're like, "Hello, Mr. Noel. nice to."
I for some reason started calling him Master Wayne because I love Batman. His first name is Wayne.
Oh, okay.
But I figure if I say Master Wayne, it's like it's still pretty respectful, right?
You know,
a little weird. my parents are super just like. I always say that like my mom is such a mom and my dad is such a dad. They want to act like everyone's their child. Everyone feels included and happy. I've always had that, those type of parents. My friends used to ask me to come over for dinner because they love just hanging out with my parents. So even though I knew you are much more soft spoken, you would be fine because they're fine. And you are. My parents absolutely adore you. They kind of love that he is a little more mellow than me because he brings me down to earth and calms me down when I'm having my like irrational freakouts or whatever. Your mom, before I had ever met her, this was 2 summers ago when we weren't fully established of what we were yet. His mom called and he was like, oh, wait, mom, hold on. Let me call Jack over. And he goes, okay, you're on speakerphone. You can ask again. And she goes, so, are you guys dating or are you guys just fucking? And I my jaw dropped to the floor. I was like, because like I said, my mom's such a mom. I don't talk, like I talk to my mom about
everything.
Are you
saying my mom's not such a mom?
No.
She's a cool mom.
But exactly. My mom, I talk to my mom about everything besides sex. Like
right.
We just don't talk about that still. So for
so
his mom, someone I haven't
I
even met
probably,
yet to
yeah.
be like, you guys dating or just fucking? I was like,
I don't know what to say to this. But also, what a way to break the ice. Oh, now you don't have to hesitate with anything that you say in hilarious. Front of her.
She's Sheila's one of my favorite people ever, ever, ever.
I thought it was so funny. Like, and also, like, when her parents first came down here to visit, when it was, like, they had been vaccinated and it was okay to travel this way, they came down for dinner at my stepdad's house, which is where my dad, my stepdad, my mom's current husband.
Oh yeah, you kind of had a tree to learn.
Oh yeah. Like, oh yeah.
So wait, who's he?
It was like we have that like progressive family where everyone's cool with everybody, and like my little brothers are like half brothers, but they're best friends, so they're kind of like brothers too. And like we just had like this big family dinner where Jack's parents met my parents like the first time that they came down here. So it was like this big like everybody knows everybody, and like my dad and my stepdad think that Wayne's a crack up, and and so does my mom's current husband. I'm just like, there's so many dads. Like, my dads think that Wayne's awesome. My mom loves her mom. Like, it's like a whole mutual.
It's like the Brady Bunch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the first time that I met Scott's family, like fully met them, we went down, I think, for someone's birthday. And he was kind of just explaining everything. He's like, yeah, so it's my mom and my dad. They got divorced. My dad got remarried. My mom got remarried. Then they got divorced. My mom remarried again. And I was like, this is okay. I'll figure it out. I was nervous that there was going to be tension or something. We pull up to the house and the three dads are outside, like smoking a cigarette, having fun. The two moms are inside cooking, laughing together. I'm like, what the heck?
Yeah.
This is the coolest thing ever.
I know. What kind of new age NBC family show is this?
I felt like I was like in a sitcom. It was so fun. And then
we ended up watching Modern Family and being like, oh, it's kind of like this.
Yeah.
Then he has his brother. Then he has his three half-brothers, but two of his half-brothers are not related literally at all, but they're best friends. So it's just the funniest. Everyone just loves each other and gets along, and it was the coolest thing. I remember leaving. I was like, I don't want to leave. I'm having like the best time just being around this really mature, progressive family.
Wow. I love that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, it's interesting, like, when you do meet parents, because, like, you know, when you meet someone new, you don't know if that person's going to be your friend or not. Like, that the test of time has to, like, show that. But when you're meeting, like, your significant other's parents, you're like, It has to work out, because this is going to be somebody that I'm going to be knowing for a long amount of time. They have to love and trust me because I'm going to be with their precious baby, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I don't know, it's weird in those initial conversations. You have those jitters and you want to show that you're funny, that you're personable. You got to hit all the notes.
Yeah.
You got to hit all the notes. And I was like so shy that it was so hard for me to hit those like funny and personable notes. But I eventually hit my stride, I think.
you did. But you're good.
It's like a dumb and dumber. He's just like lighting fire.
He's like, is this funny? Does this work?
Hey, Jack's dad, you think this is good? You like fart jokes?
Because
I can fart right now on command.
Right.
And also, I think you can kind of tell by the way, like, I know Jack. I know her personality. So I'm like, I kind of have an idea of like what her parents are like. Also, they were on the phone with you like all the time.
Yeah, I FaceTime my parents like every day.
Also, you know how like mellow and like laid back I am. So, and like the kind of sense of humor I have, which might come from my dad or my mom or whatever. And then you got the icebreaker on the phone call. So it's kind of like you know what to expect before you meet them even.
Mm-hmm.
But I still had those like pre-show jitters, like I was about to go on stage and perform because I was meeting parents. Because
you're performing for your significant other's parents. I do see those horror stories of people being like, oh, my mother-in-law is this and that and so miserable and mean, blah, blah. And I generally think that in those cases, it's like there's nothing you could do to impress this parent. Like they've already made up their mind that they don't like any significant other that's going to come into their child's life.
Mm-hmm.
So luckily, neither of us have those kind of parents. Both of our families are very welcoming and loving and
supportive.
So supportive, yeah.
And I think a lot of that has changed over time, but we grew up with movies that was like, it's scary to meet the parents.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's not really as scary to meet the parents as it was in the movies.
Right.
You know, like, well, no one's going to be like.
It depends.
I mean, of course it depends.
But like, Bad Boys, Will Smith shows up literally with a gun to meet like the kid for the first time.
Yeah, like that's not
like
a thing.
That's like a cliche. And AI, like that's a very good point. A lot of those movies in the 90s, like the dad would literally baseball bat. Right.
They drill it into you, yeah. Like you have to be fucking on point.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes, sir, I will have her home by 9 p.m.
Yeah. Did y'all grow up in like yes, sir, no, ma'am households?
No.
No. Patricia's, that was like a big thing I caught on, right? Right, but like. I would just hear Patricia even talking to her own parents, yes, ma'am, no, sir, and stuff. And that
to
was
her parents?
Yeah, for her own parents.
Yes, and, ma'am, to mom?
Yes.
Whoa.
And even ma'am. And even it's not even like for, like, oh, Patricia, can you please like unload the dishwasher? Yes, ma'am. I'm like, okay, that's a thing where you say yes, ma'am. But like her mom would be like, hey, is that girl who's still living in the apartment next to you still living there? And she's like, yes, ma'am. And I'm like, you don't really need to say yes, ma'am for that. But that was like a big thing when I was with Patricia, like picking up that code and lingo and being like, oh, yes, sir. Yes, yes, ma'am. Like it was so kind of foreign to me and I had to like adjust.
I didn't do the yes, ma'am or sir. But growing up, my parents, even if my friend's parents said, no, you can call me by my first name. My parents were like, no, you may not. Oh, you are calling them Mr. and Mrs. So if you were my friend's parent, you're like, oh, you call me Matt. My mom would be like, no, you're not. You're calling him Mr. King. And that's it. And so even meeting your family, I sometimes avoid saying your parents' names just because I still feel so awkward being like, Sheila? I want to just be like, oh, Mrs. Because it feels so foreign still.
But it's also weird because we're adults now.
But
yeah.
You know, like
when you're in fourth grade, you don't go, hey, Steve, can you get me some candy? Like,
yeah.
Okay, you know, no, it's Mr. Smith. But now it's like,
that's kind of weird.
I got a question. Oh, I guess it's more for the guys because I don't know what it's like for girls. Are you guys like cheek kissers to like older ladies? Like if you like, if I want to see Patricia's mom, like I'll kiss her on the cheek.
I'm
or if
not
I'm like seeing like her aunt.
No,
I'm not a big fan of the cheek kiss.
I like when someone else like comes in for the cheek kiss. I'm like,
yeah,
kiss like, off to the side. Like try. I'm like, I don't want to actually kiss your cheek. I don't know what to do.
My dad's a cheek kisser though, and I think I guess I picked it up from him in a way.
With like family or like everybody.
Yeah, family, and even if it's like an old family friend of theirs who's like another woman who's like married to another man, like my dad will kiss her on the cheek.
I think it's a cultural thing.
Yeah, I
could never get used to it. Yeah. Anyone who ever came up to me to do it, I was like kiss off to the side instead of kissing the cheek.
Well, I don't get it. Smack it here, but I'm like, mwah.
Like it's like
I'll make the sound.
Yeah. It's like almost like a mwah. Cheek touch.
Cheek to cheek
and go mwah.
Yeah.
No, I'm not like.
I have family members that are super like. Come here, kiss on the cheek, and then I have family members that are like, oh, hey, what's up? Yeah. So I think it just kind of depends.
Yeah.
Buena noche, Matt.
Buena noche?
Oh. You've been practicing more than I have.
Piacere.
Grazie.
Grazie. See, the little bit of Italian that we learned through Babbel is still lingering. But you know what, Mike? I think we need to switch up our game because I don't want to go to Italy again. I want to go and see the rest of the world. I'm talking about France. I'm talking about Mexico. Okay. I need to brush up my French and my Spanish especially.
Well, we know the way to do that. That's with Babbel.
That's right, Mike. Babbel is the best suited app when it comes to learning a new language. Babbel teaches real world practical conversations, stuff that you're actually going to use whenever you're abroad. They have short 10-minute interactive lessons.
And the lessons are designed by real language teachers, not AI or algorithms.
And what I also love about Babbel is that they have a 20-day money back guarantee.
And learning a new language is super fun. I mean, we both have Babbel. We've been using it. We used it before Italy. Matt learned a lot of Italian. I didn't use it as much as I should have, but Matt was really leading the trip. Definitely we'll be using it again as we continue to travel more, but we highly, highly recommend Babbel. And what's great about Babbel is that there are multiple ways to learn. There are lessons, podcasts, games, videos, and even classes with live teachers.
And one thing I discovered when I was using Babbel is that I'm terrible when it comes to pronunciations. Like, yeah, you can read it on text, but when you say it out loud, it doesn't really come out the same. And what's great is that the app listens to you and corrects you when you're pronouncing something wrong. And that was a big game changer for me.
So try Babbel and see what it helps you discover. I think it's time we're making our New Year's resolutions. Both of our resolutions is to master another language. And Babbel is the way we're going to do that.
Are we going to make this a challenge between you and me?
Yeah, we should maybe, wherever we book our next trip, whoever speaks English first loses.
Okay, and what, you're going to buy me like a free drink if you lose, Mike?
I'll buy you a croissant.
Oh.
That's probably where we'll be, yeah.
You're on.
Show the people where you're at, Matt.
That's, there it is. That's my lesson plan. I can also see ahead on whatever it is I'm going to be learning throughout the rest of the week or in my day if I feel like I'm in a speedy zone to get through it. But I love it because it's like almost playing a video game in a way.
It is like a game. Yeah, because it's on your phone. Normally, you want to pull it out to maybe play. Hey, you know, I'm going to play a game. No. Let me learn a new language.
Yeah, they have like fun, interactive like pictures and sounds. And you really feel like it's getting into your brain and it's not some boring class in person.
So check out the link in the description. Start speaking a new language in 3 weeks and get Babbel. Sign up for Babbel. Download it. And if you use the link in our description, you'll get 65% off your subscription.
So start speaking a new language in 3 weeks with Babbel.
Use the link in our description for 65% off your subscription and start speaking a new language in 3 weeks. And thanks again to Babbel for sponsoring this podcast.
Yeah, of course. But okay, so back to the yes sir thing. I had to get it off my chest, all right? For the yes sir thing, I think it is very like where you live. Like it's like different. But I had to yes sir my dad a couple times when I was like in trouble.
Oh, you know, it's yes sir.
But also my wrestling coach like drilled it into all of us to like be very respectful to everyone. Always say yes sir, yes ma'am. So like my wrestling coach taught me that. Like that was like where I got saying that to anyone who was older than me or whatever. And like I got pulled over once for speeding, and like I said yes sir to the cop, and the cop thought I was being like
sarcastic,
like a smartass, and I was trying to be really respectful, and I was like, no, I'm not being rude. I was just taught to be respectful that way, like by saying that. And he was like, okay, right. Like it was like,
well,
was
because
like,
he was probably used to people being
yeah. Like, all right, man. Okay. Fine.
I don't know.
No way. You with the tattoos, you're being polite. No way.
I was thinking about the thing. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No. Or I guess I was thinking, was the cop expecting, like, no, you address me as officer. Like, you got to go, yes, officer.
I feel like an officer.
Like, I've earned this title.
But like a police officer being called sir, I think that is what you're supposed to do. Like, that is the polite thing.
Yes, sir. I think you just, like, was, like, trying to, I don't know. I mean, there's a certain stigma where it's, like, that kid with tattoos saying, yes, sir. Is like, right. Is he being sarcastic or actually being respectful?
I just think anyone that's older than you, it's never wrong to say yes, sir, yes, ma'am.
This is a tangent. How many people get knighted a year? Like, how many sirs are given out? Like, you have Sir Paul McCartney,
I'm lady.
You're how? What? Did you buy a little parcel of land in Scotland?
No, but someone did for me.
And I guess you're a lady, of course.
And now I'm a lady.
A lady. I don't know.
You're a sir, too. I'm pretty positive. I'm pretty and sure.
Scotland. Sir Scottish sire.
I think Mimma.
Sir Scott of Scotland.
Alex? You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Well,
hold on. Your last name, Sire, isn't that like another version of sir?
Like, sire like is that like is your royalty. Sire.
It's like,
sire
it's like
a
what
king.
You say to a king. Yeah,
but that's like, what I think the word sir comes from, though. Sir and sire, I feel like it's like a...
No. I don't know. I think it's like, yes, sire.
Oh my gosh, like, you guys yes, have sire. The same last name, different fonts.
Right.
Yeah, oh, king and sire.
Yeah.
Wow.
Whoa, I never realized that. That's kind
of
cool.
The amount of sirs per year you're asking?
Yes.
I feel like they don't even do... It's not even every year. I feel like we hear about every one that happens. Or do we only just hear about the celebrity?
Three or four at a time.
Or you're talking real sir.
Well, like, and it's like not always like celebrities. It's right, sometimes it's like a soldier who did really, really well in like battle after years of service. It's like the Presidential Medal of Honor that they give out to like the, I don't know, what do you call them?
This subject came up really, really recently for me. I don't know if it was you that brought it up. Like, not how many were knighted, but like the process of actually getting knighted. Like, I don't know who I was talking to it about.
You should do something noble, I guess. And I bet you Harry Styles will become a sir in his lifetime.
Oh, for sure.
Oh,
yeah.
Probably.
It's a good look for them to like.
Yeah.
But I think they wait.
You have to be British, though.
Yes. But I also think that they wait until you're like way older in life. So that way you don't become a sir and then like fuck it up. And like become like, you know, you tarnish.
John. Is British?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jack. Wait, you think he was American?
Yeah.
I mean, Elton John.
I mean, that's Elton John, but it's so funny because there's so many artists that their accents do not come through in songs. Like,
yes.
I didn't know One Direction was like all from different places until I heard interviews.
Yeah.
I wasn't like a 1D stan.
I thought they played instruments for the longest time.
I was like,
they just take turns singing?
We just talked about this with the 1975. I was like, I feel like this is one of the only bands where their accent like really fucking comes through in their music. Like
Amy Winehouse, you can kind of hear it. Like, I think it's a type of song you can kind of hear it. Others you can't. Like Adele, she sounds as American as...
Yeah. She just sounds like an amazing singer. There's no border of the language.
Do you have any English like fans who've covered your songs at all? I just would be interested to hear a Scotty Sire song in like a thick Scottish accent.
Not that I know of. I don't think there's been a whole lot of covers of my songs done.
We put out a little challenge, a covers challenge.
I did a music video challenge, and you know what's funny? The kid who won second place of the music video challenge, when I was like, I want to see what you guys would make videos to this. He was taking photos and videos as the media press pass guy at the venue last night.
Oh, cool.
He was like, I'm the guy who won second place for that contest. I was like, oh, nice to meet you. That's so sick. And like full circle. Like so weird.
I've been meaning to ask you about this, and I don't know if it applies here, but like I always think about this tweet of someone was like, I can fuck up everything in my life, but as long as I don't marry into a family that does a 5K Thanksgiving morning, I'll be a success. And like, you know that there's like those families that like, all right, guys, it's Thanksgiving morning, 6 a.m. We're going to go on our 5K family run. Ooh. And I'm just like,
but who?
People do that.
I know. I see that joke every year, and I thought it was hilarious for a while. But then I got to the point where I'm like, I follow 2,000 people on Instagram, and I have seen not one family post that they're doing.
But this is why I'm bringing this up.
In Texas, a lot of people do.
And you do the flag football.
You do the flag football thing, which I think is like 1 degree away. That is as close as you can get.
No
like,
way.
You have the whole
team.
But
that's easier than doing a 5K.
I know, but it's
because
still
are you guys drinking when you do that?
Hell yeah, we
no
are.
No one's drinking to do a 5K.
But
that
you're
sounds
still
horrible.
Like, you put on the uniforms, you're playing a sport. It's like, it's rowdy. All the guys are like, all right, let's play a sport. And like,
but it's not like meet the parents, like volleyball game scene where like they take it that seriously.
Yeah.
Like, right, we're not going to like treat you differently if you're not.
The 5K,
catching the balls.
The 5K thing makes me think of the bad guy in Step Brothers, like his family.
Yes,
like
that's exactly.
Something he'd make his kids do and be like, we're all doing the 5K and we're going to sing while we're doing it. And if you fuck up, we don't get first.
I bet you Tom Brady does 5K.
That would be a great plot for like a romantic comedy movie about like, oh, you're going to come home for Thanksgiving. Remember, we do the turkey trot and like this guy has to like train for it. And like that kind of process and that anxiety, I'd watch that.
But like, for Hallmark, I guess my question for you is: does anyone in your family like because you do the flag football thing?
Yes,
it seems to me to be like a cousin of someone who would do the 5K. Is there anyone in your family who is doing like the 5K Thanksgiving morning or like Christmas morning, or is it just the flag football and that's it?
It's just the flag football and that's it. My cousin Nick though gets up and he'll go run a few miles
See?
In like the
this
freezing
is,
cold.
That's what I'm but talking about.
Not,
it's all...
He's not because there's not a group of
okay.
people getting up,
okay.
and it's like you got to be part of the.
But maybe he might.
Yeah, he'll
when
start
he's,
that tradition with his
it.
Family.
Ooh. Actually, good point. Yeah,
I don't know.
That's definitely I could see that in the horizon.
I would wake up if I was at home on Thanksgiving. Like I'd wake up and probably get a little workout in, like like maybe do a little jog. But then again. I might be really, really hungover because statistically, Wednesday before Thanksgiving is the biggest drinking year of the biggest drinking day of the year.
Yeah.
I got it backwards. But
you wouldn't want to like start the family. Like, all right, guys, let's do the just
hey,
that,
hey,
that, that tradition
know.
Just
Fuck
seems
no.
like
yeah.
Especially if I'm the other half of that family. It's not happening.
mm-hmm.
Any
hey,
participants
knows?
That wanna go with Scott, sure. But everyone else who doesn't wanna, let's go watch a Christmas.
I remember
movie.
When I used to come over the house, you were always, even if Scott wasn't working out, you were always working out at Scott's gym. Is that not the case anymore?
I feel like I don't even remember that because
it was, I remember you were always like you always had like some rubber band or something that you were doing. You're always in the workout clothes, running up and down the stairs.
She would put the workout clothes on like right in the like in the morning so that she'd be like, all right, I'm ready
motivated.
To work out when it's time to work out. And like, you know, we had Julian come over to train for a while. Before that, we were doing like because this was right into the pandemic where she did have these classes she was going to that got canceled. You couldn't
right.
go to them anymore.
I still had
so
the motivation.
She still had, like,
I heard about a thing that like someone wanted to lose a certain amount of weight or get in shape or something, and so their friend, in order to motivate them, it was like a Jewish guy that wanted to like whatever be able to run a certain amount of miles in a month. So what his friend did was like made a donation to like the American like KKK or like the American Nazi Party or something, and said that if you don't meet this goal that you've set for yourself, I'm going to make the donation in your name to this organization that you hate. And that motivated him to do the thing. So maybe we find some organization that you hate.
Some sick self-sabotage.
And we'll make
we'll
make a donation in Jack Lanterson's name if you don't work out or do whatever your own motivation
yeah,
is.
Yeah, but if that guy did go through with actually making that donation, that would be a fucking huge dick move. Like, no, like even if he didn't fucking meet the goal, like you don't want to fucking donate to the KKK.
Like, yes, I get it. Like, I don't think they actually were going to do it, but it's more of like a motivating tool. Yeah. Like, oh shit, I don't want my name on the fucking side of the...
It's like the only thing that actually would have consequences.
I get the psychological effect of it, but it just sounds terrible.
Yeah, it's a bad idea. I don't recommend it, but it's interesting. Right. Like,
it's interesting. It's very interesting.
But like, if it was for like a good cause or a good donation, then there's no point, though.
Right. Because it's not as motivating to be like, oh, I'll give you $10,000.
Yeah, it has to like scare you. But then at the end of the day, in the back of your mind, I would know. I'd be like, okay, there's no way that my friend's actually going to make that donation.
Maybe it would be like an embarrassing nude or something. Like something that's negative. Not really going like to be benefiting evil people. But
well,
like something
that's necessarily... The donation should never actually be made, but it should scare you enough to
But you have to believe that it's going to be made.
Excruciatingly. You do it as an NFT. So that's popular now, right? NFTs.
You don't want to lose all your listeners now. We won't get into NFTs. Okay.
Sorry.
Well, actually, you probably lost them a long time ago. We've been recording for a long time.
our audience stays to the end, especially like when we have couples on. People love that.
Oh, they do.
Of course, they want to get to know.
And this was
the
fun.
Down in the dirty.
This was a lot of fun.
This was all over the place.
I think people are going to love it.
I didn't even promote on this one that we're relaunching our CBD company with Happy Face. You know the watermelon gummies you love so much?
Yes. I had some last night.
We're relaunching next week. So we just did a photo shoot today. We got this new merch in.
Are we gonna get some product too?
We're gonna get some product.
Oh, we were supposed to bring you guys hats.
I was gonna bring you guys hats and shirts, and I forgot to bring them.
Bring them back when you come home from New York.
Yeah. But I will bring you guys some of that stuff. I know Matt always needs more watermelon gummies.
You know, he loves those.
I love them.
And you guys have safe travels for your show that will be in New York, but do you have any more after New York?
No, I just have three small shows, and then, you know, maybe we'll schedule one around the time VidCon is or something
like
that.
And so where can people find the CBD and the merch? Is it, what's the website?
Happyface.com or at Happyface on Instagram. You know, if you want to come to a show,
They're
already over.
Jack, anything you want to plug, promote?
Tom Holland's Instagram account.
Yeah. Wait, one second. Yes. I also started my own podcast, so you guys have to come onto my podcast.
Oh, yeah, you guys do have to.
Tell the people where to find
your podcast.
Give the plug.
Oh, it's NGMI Podcast.
NGMI Podcast?
NGMI.
I mean, stands for not gonna make it. It's like this self-deprecating, like, but the idea is we're going to talk about like successes and failures and like the times that you failed several times trying to achieve something and then you become successful finally.
Damn straight.
You know?
We got to come on.
Excited for it.
We'll
and your Patreon?
And I launched a Patreon. We don't have to plug everything here.
Yes, we do.
Let's move on to Jack. Let her plug some shit.
Okay.
No, I don't know. I have my YouTube channel, Jack Anderson. I have my Instagram, Jacqueline Noel. I have my TikTok, Jack Anderson. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
That's where you'll
find me.
Ladies and gentlemen, Scotty Sire and Jack Anderson.
Thank you guys for coming. Woo! We love
you.
Thanks
so much for having us on.
Of course.
It was
fun. Happy holidays, everybody.
Yes. Bye.